It is a center for higher learning.
It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadowed halls.
This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos.
Welcome to the Miskatonic University Podcast.
They'll teach you things you can't unlearn.
Hello, and welcome to the Miskatonic University Podcast, episode 137. This is the podcast dedicated to Call of Cthulhu and other horror and Lovecraft-related role-playing games. I'm Keeper Dan.
And I'm Keeper Chad, and in this episode, we're going to talk about at least one good resource for budding Cthulhu game writers.
Yes, we'll be talking about Chaosium's launch of something called the Miskatonic Repository.
And we're back from the holidays, and we have a lot of news to catch up on.
Wow, that is just expert punch there. That was
Jesus, that was some serious, you brought the game.
Is that what was a morning zoo level. That was
damn, how many shots of espresso did you give John?
Good morning, Arkham!
all right.
Miskatonic University Campus
Crier. Campus Crier's Miskatonic U student paper. We're just going to go through Mythos-related news and feedback for the show. This episode is being recorded on January 11th, 2018. Starting off, I just wanted to have a brief moment here just to mention that that Chaosium has introduced what they're calling the Miskatonic Repository, a way for creators to publish and distribute their own original Cthulhu Call of Cthulhu content. And this is going to be our main topic. We're going to go into all sorts of depth on this thing.
Yeah, it's huge news. Big game changer of the game.
That's going to be very cool. Well, you know, it's like we'll do it in the main topic, but it's a new way of doing something that they've done before, and I like it.
I'm ambivalent on it one way or the other. Sorry, if we're all weighing it.
No, yep. Lynn Hardy has been named as a Call of Cthulhu assistant editor at Chaosium. So congratulations to her. Yeah.
Fantastic news.
More Lynn is good.
Yes. Love that lady. She's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Legends of Tabletop did an interview with Adam Scott Glancy. That's worth listening to. They cover the Horrors of War issue, as well as some other interesting political territory. Kudos to John H. and Leia for delving into the touchy ground with him. Apparently, Scott was pretty forthcoming in this, just covering all these topics.
Yeah, it's a great interview. I've already listened to it myself, and Scott is Scott, you know, and he's great on it. And lots of great information, very forthcoming. I think Horrors of War is going to be worth the wait, but definitely it sounds like they aren't going to – they're not going to try and solicit and raise money as early in the project as they did for this. I think the lesson learned is be further down the road before you do this kind of thing. But Or as he put it, also smaller projects, you know, do smaller, more finite projects. But still, great interview. Please listen to it.
Yeah, and kudos to John and Leah for sort of drawing him out on something that's kind of tough to talk about. It is clear that that it's hard for him to talk about it, and it involves some personal stuff, and he's also quite aware that people don't necessarily want to hear sorry or excuses anymore. So he's kind of threading an interesting needle there between apologizing and just owning up to stuff that's come up.
Yeah. You know, and he talked about how, they're already issuing refunds. You know, people have wanted their money back, and that's totally understandable. But honestly, I think the people who stick with it are going to get a great product.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson and Brand, is that on PDF?
Yep. For backers, is actually, we had that delay, and so this is a little bit older, but I've got my copies of it. There's three different documents that were part of it, and I'm really liking the Hudson and Brand set. I've enjoyed it quite a lot. I've been reading through it.
Very cool.
Yes. More Gaslight fun.
Always.
So, Yogg-Sothoth, namely Paul of Cthulhu, not Yogg-Sothoth the god, but Yogg-Sothoth.com.
That was interesting.
Yeah, they're putting out their own rule set of Cthulhu-y game. And this is in part because they stuff that they want to publish in fiction after role-playing it would have to be licensed, and so they don't want to have to deal with the license, so they're going to do a kind of light system that is truly their own, so that when they do actual plays, they can then do fiction after that, just like they did with Express Diaries and other products.
Oh, okay.
So is it, I don't understand though, is it going to be a clone of the Chaosium system, or is it completely separate? Or are they even going to release it so anyone else really knows?
It actually sounds like it's going to be sort of circulated privately among friends. It's not going to be something for sale at this point. They did three new stories called Stepping Stone that is available for patrons in that system, so you could kind of get an idea if you wanted to. Other details are in the YSDC thread that I'm about to link. I think it's going to be somewhere in the zone. I don't know if it's percentile or what it is, actually. But it's not a clone. It's their own thing.
Yeah. I know that.
It says it's a very simple rules light Lovecraftian RPG that uses six-sided dice or coins as the primary resolution mechanic.
Right. Huh. So clearly not percentile.
Yeah, clearly not a percentile system. Yeah, that's all we can say. That's all we know.
But you can listen to character creation and other parts of their inaugural pilot, I guess, on that.
I think it's the alpha. They're calling it an alpha stage, so they're still very rough with it. But yeah, you can listen to them make character creation, and then doing the Stepping Stones scenario.
Yeah, page,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, good for them. That's a big direction to go in of creating up their own game to do their life plays based on.
It is quite, and germane to what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. There's sort of some fracturing in the Cthulhu landscape that has continued since Trail of Cthulhu and others have. Mm-hmm.
Pellegrin has released another scenario for Cthulhu Confidential called Ex Astoria. This is a New York mythos noir scenario for the character Vivian Sinclair, created by Ruth Tillman. Remember the Cthulhu Confidential scenarios? Those are all one player, one keeper, and so it's a nice little one-on-one, very intense kind of play style.
Yeah, really pretty book.
Description of this. Yeah. And the description on the scenario, a brawl between picketers from the miners' union and scab laborers working on the Wynn water tunnel has turned into a riot. Vivian Sinclair is on the scene reporting.
Oh, cool.
It seems the scab workers are the least of the miners' concerns. Can Viv prevent further injuries and an environmental disaster?
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that the line of Cthulhu Confidential is, progressing, and because it's a cool idea with the one-on-one.
It is a cool idea. I have a couple of questions about it. I mean, since with the Gumshoe, it's almost engineered to where you need multiple players in order to have skill coverage, since a character can only have X number, or you usually only has X number of skills, and then if the clue is requiring to have a skill that you don't have, I mean, how do you get it? So,
well, they're written for a specific character, so.
Yeah, so that's interesting that it's written specific for a specific investigator for you to use instead of, you know, generating your own or, you know, wedging these into ongoing campaigns, that kind of thing.
I like that because it allows them to more focus what's going on with that particular character, though. So you don't have to make it as broad a scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, you can focus in on what the drives are for the character, and, you know, as long as player and keeper are on board with, you know, let's see how this character does in the scenario, let's, you know, that's awesome.
All right, and if she dies in one scenario, it doesn't matter, you just reuse her again in a different one.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Also, from Pelgrane Press, they have released a new Problems and Edges deck. The one-to-one system uses cards to help navigate that whole thing. So these are problem and edge cards that investigators accumulate during play, and it's available in PDF directly from Pelgrane's website now. It's on DriveThruRPG. And there's no news yet as to whether they're also going to make an appearance on DriveThruCards. I've never even heard of that, but apparently it's a print-on-demand outlet for cards.
Yes, the vast drive-through empire.
Up next, there's a new release for the Cthulhu Hack role-playing game. This is called The Dark Brood. It offers content about Shub-Niggurath, the Black Goat and his thousand young creatures, horrible and mindless, including six examples of the Dark Brood, two investigation seeds, mythos spells, and dozens of elements to add the essence of Shub-Niggurath to your game. PDF is $3.95. You can get it over at RPG Now. There's also a part of a bundle from Unformed Realms as well. There's links as well in the show notes.
And this is another thing that came across my feeds lately, is that there's a game that, not quite a board game, but it's an actual physical item type of game that you play at a table called Tower of Madness. This came out from a company called Smirk and Dagger, and it's a 3D clock tower that has like 30 tentacles sticking out of it, and players have to roll dice and they take cards and they have to remove tentacles, and those tentacles are supporting marbles inside.
Oh, okay.
And so apparently it's supposed to be similar to a game called Kerplunk.
That's it.
Yeah, Kerplunk.
I was like, I know this game. I can't remember the name of it. Right, Kerplunk.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're researching the Cthulhu mythos, and you're trying not to lose your
marbles. That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's ridiculous, but I like it.
Yeah, and it just looks like a fun little thing, and I just love the imagery of the tower with the whole bunches of tentacles just sticking out in every direction.
Nice little centerpiece for, say, maybe a wedding or, you know, some kind of...
Yeah!
Right? But of course.
What? Something else that came across my...
Why did you get French? Are weddings French?
Oh, French is the language of love.
Something else that came across my feed is that in Science News, a bunch of new species of spiders have been found in Brazil, and they've all been given names of fictional characters, including one of them from our own Cthulhu mythos.
What? Is it Alaknaka, or is there...
Alaknaka.
Is there really? Awesome. That's really cool, but there's no way in hell I'm opening this link.
Oh. Look up, Google instead, pelican spider.
How many times can I say no? Oh, thanks, man. I really, really appreciate the love there, bud. It's feeding that arachnophobia.
There's hardly any pictures on this thing.
Yeah.
And they're incredibly difficult to tell where the spider is.
Those are the worst ones, yeah, John.
These are named fictional after.
These are terrible.
It's just fictional science, things. Man. It's not like they.
Mm-hmm. Not all science is good science.
Well, that's not what I was saying at all.
Look at eugenics, Chad. Look at the Nazis. Come on, man.
Wasn't science okay? Oh my god.
Keep them spiders to yourself, bro.
One of them's named after Varys from Song of Ice and Fire. Another one's Alach Nacha. And they all have the front of the name, was it Ocherosia, possibly, something close to that. And
the genus or whatever that is for it.
Ocherosia and Alach Nacha refers to the spider god Alach Nacha from the universe created by H.P. Lovecraft. And then there are two species from Tolkien. So there's the Lorenza, which is a species named after the well-known giant spider Lorenza, which is Shelob in English. So basically, they use the Spanish name for Shelob. And then another character, Ungolent, which is, I believe, supposed to be Shelob's mother. And yeah. They've got one called
Aragog from the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
One called just Miss Spider.
Sure. Because they ran out. They just were tired.
Well, that's from a story.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Popular children's books. David Kirk's Little Miss Spider. And then the last one is Archaeorsa Charlotte.
No.
Charlotte's Web.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. Not happening, bros.
I just think that's really cool that they found so many of these that they decided to have fun with the names and got a nice broad range. I saw that, there's actually a spider species out there named Alach Nacha now.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I'm definitely not looking at it.
The downside, though, for being named that, though, is that it's only this big, you know?
Mm-hmm. What? What do you mean? I don't get it. What?
Jesus Christ. I'm not drunk enough to deal with that.
Pinch your fingers together.
This big.
Yeah, but I don't...
Move on.
I'm going to go smoke a cigarette or something. Christ almighty.
Look at my pelican spider, somebody.
I can't. I did. Tell I told
you I did. I didn't like it. It's fucking horrible. You only sent it to me. You bastard.
Oh, no. It's here. Here it is.
He put it in the show notes finally. Yeah.
Here it comes. It's loading, hard to even loading, tell loading. What, where.
I know. It's terrible, is what it is.
It has, like, sort of pelican-y mouth parts that...
Yeah.
Let's just stop. No, let's quit.
Yeah.
It does look kind of like something out of Starship Troopers, only fuzzy.
No, come on, man.
I'm just going to real quick Google spiders from face.
Okay. Look, we have the round one results of the Cult of Chaos Convention Scenario Competition for 2018.
Woohoo!
Looks really cool. We got some names that we know that showed up in this list.
Yeah.
First one I noticed here is Shannon Mack, actually Legend of Brian Boru is a scenario name. It looks really cool. Good to see him in there. James Thompson, Bloody Orgy on Vampire Island. Sounds awesome. Who else do we know in this list, guys?
And it's a Pulp Cthulhu scenario.
That's a Pulp Cthulhu scenario. That's pretty cool. Darius, Beneath Our Mass. I can't read all these, so I'm not going to. If anybody knows somebody, call them out. Otherwise, screw it. Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Absolutely. And then there's some folks that they want to give special mentions to for pitches that they, you know, love the ideas or just the wackiness of it, which included... our own dear John.
We've both been rejected in the first round of this competition now, John.
Yep.
About your rejections there.
Yeah, well, you have to work hard to get rejected as well and as often as we do.
Mm. You do, actually.
Yeah. That's true. It is true.
You do have to, it turns out, submit
something. Submit.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the big, that's the huge trick to getting rejection letters that most people don't realize.
Yeah, I didn't read the fine print.
There is a submission that's required ahead of time.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
You got to work for that rejection. And
yeah, it's constantly. It's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a great thing. It doesn't have to be a rejection because of the new Miskatonic repository.
Exactly.
I'm interested. Please tell me more.
I have one other item. Could I throw in there, perhaps?
Please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dean Englehart, I'd like to give a shout out, has done the first part of a pretty cool roundup of news in Cthulhu gaming in 2017, and there's a lot of it, and it's sort of a good reminder of what, how much is happening in our little niche here, and, it's a nice reminder, it's a nice summary, and it's only part one. He's going to continue. This one's called People and Companies. I don't know what the next one's called. Isn't out yet. Probably will be by the time this drops. But he talks about some of the news of the last year. The kind of thing we probably should be doing. But we don't have to because Dean has. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dean. He's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really nice little write-up. So yeah, take a look in the show notes for the link for that.
You know what else? We actually have some listener feedback as well.
Yeah. We got a note from Graham. That wasn't a submission necessarily for the card catalog. We appreciate all those, Graham, and this. This is great. He actually is aware of a scenario that had Freshwater Deep Ones.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. It was in a semi-pro fanzine called North Coast Roleplaying in their issue 7, and it also appeared in the early 90s in the first issue of Vortex magazine. So it's not like it was a Chaosium produced scenario, which is probably where we would have, more of us would have been aware, but this is kind of cool.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. So it's called Shadow Over Stockton. And the hook is someone catching a strange creature on Lake Stockton in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
Sporting Goods Company puts up a huge reward and a massive hunt, sort of like the beginning of Jaws.
Yeah.
ensues.
A whole bunch of people who shouldn't be out on the water.
I wonder if anyone goes, we're going to need a bigger boat.
It's like in every role play session.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Or a bigger enter, some object here.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
What? What? Somebody doing a voice or what?
I don't know.
I think that was a Murph.
Do that?
I did.
What?
I don't understand why Chad is so upset about this.
Oh my god, it is Murph. That's creepy as hell.
Well,
reminds me
of... It reminds me of your mother.
And yes, dear listeners, Murph is drinking. So that... this is gonna be the show.
Wow.
I'm just joking. I love so Chad weird. To death. People are going to think I hate Chad. I pick on him because I love him. And because he's going to give me hell. He's going to give me hell tomorrow. I cannot explain the level of lecturing that I will have tomorrow morning.
All right.
It'll be epic, guys. I'll try and record it. I'll put screenshots of the chat conversation up on the internet so that people can see what I have to deal with.
Oh, now I'm going to have to compose stuff overnight.
Yeah.
God, you better think about it hard, too.
You got to live up.
Yeah, live up to the hype, Chad. I'm not really going to post them. I mean, because you never know. So we have some feedback from Dave Sokolowski that he originally left as a voicemail, but it was too dang long. So he left it as an email, which we are now going to break apart and read piecemeal in its entirety.
As a tone poem. Go.
Hello, sirs. I had originally meant to leave this as a voicemail, but it got too long.
You just said this part. You just summarized it.
Shush. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that his first paragraph was a summation of what I had already said. That was very forward thinking of him and me.
Seems surprising. How would you know that without having read that first paragraph?
I don't know. I didn't read that first paragraph. That's just the way.
It's the sign of being a stable genius. Mm. It's good.
First, thank you so much for all your great work. This year, which was rough and stressful for a few reasons, saw me spend a lot of time in my car driving multiple hours from here to there. I decided to get back into podcast and ended up listening to a backlog of MUP that went back to mid-2015, more than 2 years ago. At least 50 episodes. Good Lord, man. I commend you. I can be sentimental, and like many, memories tied to emotion. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know. We don't have to switch off, but do you?
We
are going to switch
off. We're going to switch off.
I can be sentimental, and like many memories tied to emotion, grow deeper. I formed a connection with your podcast and came to love your wacky but serious show on many levels. You've got a great thing going. Topical and thoughtful conversation on game topics, intelligent and funny discourse about horror in general, and a congenial and friendly banter that is rare indeed. We, as a hobby, are much better off with you lot around, and I'm very thankful for all that you do. Here's to many more fantastic episodes that I now listen to within a day of their release.
With that done, I would now like to give you an exclusive release. Dun, 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 dun. I am currently working on another chapter in the Stygian Fox Safe House series called The Advocacy. Here's the elevator pitch for you. The Advocacy is a modern-day safe house setting for Call of Cthulhu set in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
the PCs... Huh? Oh.
Keep your banter to a minimum, Chad.
Oh, sorry. It's that congenial banter.
God, I know.
It's hard to stop.
The PCs are fixers, soldiers, and researchers who work discreetly to solve problems in and around the home of the world's largest bureaucracies. They have the best technology and resources in the world at their hands, which is important because the adversaries don't play by the rules and often don't even come from this world.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's in the same series as Hudson and Brand and is currently being written and playtested. There's even a Facebook group for it if you're clever enough to pass your computer use skill check to find it. For all this work, I would love an opportunity to come on your show and discuss modern investigations. I love that idea. Not Please. Necessarily modern horror, which has been covered before, but contemporary investigations by professional investigators. How cameras have invaded every space, how data is available for those with the power, how even magic can be tracked on an app. This technology continually advancing, the methods for investigation grow more and more precise.
Modern investigations. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to finish up.
Go for it.
But, you.
Modern investigations have different tone and pacing that I'm trying to explore and embrace. And with an advocacy playtest or two under my belt, I have lots of ideas to share and get feedback on. I would love to come on the show and talk about the advocacy and all things modern, as well as just hear your lovely voices again. Thanks again for everything. Go Pods, Dave Sokolowski.
Thank Done. You, Dave. We're going to get Dave on ASAP.
Yes, right, please.
We'll see you next Thursday, Dave.
We'll be in touch, because yes, I like that very much.
Sounds good. I like it when they come up with our shows for us.
Yeah. Yes. Episode topics, we are happy to take requests.
Speaking of also, topics.
Seriously. Thank you, Dave, for the nice things you said. That it really does.
Yeah,
you know, it means a lot to us. And I mean, we do this for the fun, and we do it for the hobby. And it's nice to hear people who appreciate it. So, thank you.
Yeah, That's, I know that feeling from other shows that I listen to. You do get a connection to them, and I totally get that. And I'm touched to be a part of that.
Ditto what they said.
Settle down now, Klaus. It's time for your next lesson.
And into the main topic. Chaosium's introduced the Miskatonic Repository. And first off, I would like to thank them for naming this after us. It's very kind of them, and humbling.
I mean, it says a lot, you know. We've come a long way, guys. We've come a long way.
Yeah, I know. It's really touching that they thought of us whenever they created up this
thing. They should fly us all out to London so we can accept the award.
Or at least somewhere in the Midlands.
Yeah.
Just fly somewhere random.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too. Yeah. Just put us on a plane, man. We can do loops in the air, for all I care.
Yeah. If we're together, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
We'll record an episode while we're spinning around in circles in the air. That'd be
30,000 feet. Yeah, it'll be the Mile High episode.
It escalated suddenly.
I didn't mean it that way, but hey.
let's not get hasty now. Let's hear the man out.
We'll take your pitch now.
Hey, we can do some zero-G parabolas on the way, too.
Whoa, you just said parabolas sounds so dirty.
I'm positing four middle-aged white boys in skimpy outfits on a plane. What do you think?
I think that's a D12 sand loss.
I think you're right.
On a pass.
Yeah.
D100 fail. Definitely.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
We've got this thing that Chaosium did.
My mind's on this reverie.
Oh my god. Chaosium introduced the Miskatonic Repository. It's a, quote, way for creators to publish and distribute their own original Call of Cthulhu content.
Yes.
That's what it is. And that's the blurb.
And it is live, and it is really well stocked with awesome stuff.
Yeah, they launched with, I think, 5 different projects.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And a whole bunch of free resources for writers. So, yeah, this has got, let's see, got a whole bunch of links here.
We got a whole bunch of links.
And some of the details is that there is a profit-sharing thing involved. Whenever you create something, the creator gets 50% of whatever the sale cost is. Hmm. The rest is split between DriveThruRPG and Chaosium.
That's not bad, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah. DriveThru takes 30, I think, and Chaosium gets 20.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Chaosium's actually taking the smallest cut of this. I was like, okay.
All right, yeah.
It is the writer who sets the price, and you can set it just for free. If you want to just release some little thing, go for it.
Or pay what you want, too. So and that split, just whatever people pay, will go.
Yeah.
Three. Yep.
And this is very, very cool. Apparently, D&D has an existing thing like this, and it works well for them. So I'm thrilled about this. There's stipulations about what you can and can't use as far as rules. Essentially, this is a 7th edition only project. So nothing from 1 to 6 because, well, it's just too fragmentary. We need it to be a one consistent rule set. So,
well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. My initial reaction was incredibly positive. This is a kind of experimental space that replaces the Monographs, which I am still mourning, even though it's been replaced. I wish that I didn't want that to go away, and I sort of had ambitions to do a monograph and had that in my dream space for a long time, and when it went away, I was sad. And when the rules tightened up for licensees over the summer, it seemed like a further narrowing of the door.
Mm-hmm.
So this to me is like, aha, that's where the weird stuff goes. That's where the experiments go. And I'm really glad and excited. And it turns out they would have been working on this. They've been working on this since the summer. So they knew this when they were revamping the license rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't release it until last month. So
they didn't even tell us.
Super secret.
Yeah. But I'm just so excited. I just feel like it's really important for there to be an experimental space. And when you take away the crowdfunding, which this, you know, we still, this the smaller licenses do not allow crowdfunding under Chaosium, but this allows a space where there is a retail experimentation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool, though. Yeah, I mean,
it's really important.
I like this. And it, basically what it, how it works is you have a series of documents that are available to anyone for free on DriveThruRPG. Those consist of templates and art packs for different things so that you can place art into your scenarios. It's all been pre-approved, and I'm assuming either Chaosium has previously paid for the art usage of this, or they have just gone out and found really good quality open Creative Commons stuff and compiled it together.
I doubt that it was free contributions. We don't know what was paid and what was not,
right?
But these are actual artists in the Cthulhu community.
Yeah, they're all right. Consistent.
And I was thinking and what I meant by that is there's specifically the 1920s Rogue Gallery art pack, which has a lot of photos in it. So some of those are obviously not doctored. You know what I mean? Some of them are doctored, but some of those are just straight up photos from the 40s and 20s and prior.
I got you. Yep. It's a mix.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. But, Ruben Dodd is one of the artists.
Yeah.
He's somebody who's worked with, all over the place, but he works with Oscar a lot on Golden Goblin.
And I love Ruben Dodd. He's great. He's a great guy. And I've got his art hanging on my wall behind me because, you know, why not?
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they seem to be trying to be as helpful as possible with this basic information here. We've got resources in here that are both characters, the art packs in here are just all over the place. Curious things, ill omens, which is kind of like effects of spells on people.
Mm-hmm.
Monster silhouettes, which is very cool. Some of those are straight from the old rulebook artworks. And
yeah, that's
I'm very
old
happy
school.
To have access to those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another great thing is that means I can use these for the show.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they released it free, so it's open game.
Yeah, and it's not like we're making anything off of the artwork and stuff. So yeah, I'm very happy to have these. There's several scenarios already in there, and there's actually more stuff from the last time I looked at it.
Yeah, it's growing steadily. That's what's kind of cool, is that it is being used.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Eddie Poe, who was one of the first startup authors on this.
Yeah.
I
owe art to Eddie because he, and I think I think the authors can go back and update their documents. So I'm going to try and get some art to Ed, and I think he's going to be able to resubmit it with artwork for his scenario that I do.
Ah.
Very cool.
Very cool. I like that. Yeah, because it DriveThru just sends out a notice to anyone who's downloaded, hey, this has been updated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that works out nicely. I noticed that somebody just added in, Shane Rogers just added an Arkham Electric bill.
Yeah, I saw that.
Arkham Edison.
That's really cool.
So just a one-off prop. That's awesome.
Yeah,
just a one-off. Yeah, it's really cool. And I like how this is blossoming into being a repository for all sorts of stuff, not just add-ons for scenarios, but just generic handouts and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's very cool.
I like this a lot. That is great. That kind of one-off, I think, is the sort of example of stuff that excites me about this.
Mm.
And that the rules that Chaosium has put down has said, you know, that, yeah, you can make fresh handouts for scenarios. You know, how about modern versions of handouts for certain scenarios? That way, if you want to play it in modern instead of 20s.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Like modern, like horror on the Orient Express props.
Yeah. You know, you can turn telegrams into text messages.
Right.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Stuff like that. That's all things that you can do within this. And there's a lot of leeway that they're giving in here. It's a lot more than I would have expected.
And I'll tell you, you know, comparing the repository to the monographs, as you've already kind of noted, you're seeing new stuff. The speed to market is infinitely faster.
Oh, yeah.
It seems with this repository than it was, because it's direct, than it was with the monographs. You know,
mm-hmm.
There was always, you know, the delay in, you know, oh, when is this going to get to finally see print? And it was even in the monographs that Chaosium was controlling, like back when they were doing the contests, the Halloween mm-hmm. contests and whatnot, you know, it seemed like it was taking forever for it to finally get in their queue for printing and have a, you know, a PDF constructed to be available on their website and that kind of thing. But having us going through a drive-through is, man,
yep.
Speed to market is just lightning fast. I love this.
And it's better structured because the monographs, you didn't have really a template to work off of.
Correct.
You know, they were all over the map because the formatting and everything was done by the writer.
Mm-hmm.
If this, it's not like Chaosium's editing anything, but they're giving templates. Hey, here is the template to format by. Here's artwork. Here's resources to make it look good before you put it in. And that, I think, is going to give us a lot better looking stuff than what we had in some of the monograph.
Yeah, possibly. And one of the things that they're doing here is DriveThruRPG has its own special formatting, which is kind of Byzantine to navigate. There are all kinds of little formatting rules. So if you want to sell a PDF on their site, you know, of course, like there's definition issues and there's bleed, you know. Well, actually, the print-on-demand stuff is worse. But anyway, that is stuff that's hard to do. And having a template to start with is more than just having an attractive book look. It has
yeah.
to
do with.
Yeah, it's not a trivial matter to have an approved template from our DriveThruRPG already on hand, and you just plug mm-hmm. your stuff into. That makes life a hell of a lot simpler.
Yeah.
I dare you to try to read their specs page sometime.
I have done it, and it is Byzantine at best.
Now, print-on-demand actually is something that I've not seen a reference of yet, unless it's hidden in here, because that would be a nice option eventually to have. But right now, it's purely PDF, though, so, you know, just be ready to print out the PDFs if that's the way you prefer to have it.
Right, and there's ways around that. I mean, you know, you can always just print them yourself. You can pay another company to print them that doesn't yeah. care about such things, which is fairly common.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, overall, this kind of popped up out of nowhere, and just like, wait, what? What are they doing? And now looking at it, now that it's live, because, you know, a little bit of behind the scenes, Chad and I actually recorded a full episode on this.
Yeah.
And then my hard drive crashed. Yeah, literally the day before they went live with this, Chad and I went through the details of what we knew at the time. And which is a pretty good amount of stuff, pretty much all of it that, you know, they put onto their official sites.
Yeah, but we didn't see the content yet.
Yeah. And so we decided to just redo it all with everybody present. And this is, it just kind of dropped in and And Chad and I looked through trying to find reasons to be skeptical about this, and so far I am still coming up with nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it was so soon that I was sort of guardedly optimistic. I guess I still sort of am. I wanted to go ahead and look at what other people were possibly objecting to and what some of the implications were. There are some issues. I sort of come down on the what the hell, it's better than what we had, which is nothing. And I think it's reasonably fair, and it seems to compare up with other such sort of digital DIY efforts too. So,
So what are some of the complaints that you've heard, Chad?
Well, we'll have a link to the YSDC thread. There were, you know, initial concerns. First of all, the 50-50 split seemed not very kind to a lot of people. And I think they could do better. I mean, they could certainly, if you did it without the licensing, you would get 70%. I mean, you can't do Chaosium, but if you did like your own gaming product, you get 70% of the profit. But the question is whether they're providing a 20, you know, there was some hedging about the splits and whether that's fair. Frankly, I'm just coming down on, like, if you really want to go pro, you can make more money with your products, even in the Chaosium system, but you're going to have to sort of work your way up. I still think the experimental space, this is reasonable. They are providing quite a lot. They're also providing the name. They're providing this sort of closed system. So as far as marketing, you're getting a boost there that is hard to track, but it's there. The access of drive-through RPG and all that. So the split really is not a big concern for me, but I understand compared to completely DIY, that's, you know, it's not as good as that. So the other thing is that this really does raise the issue of 7th edition, limiting it to 7th edition. D&D does not, in their little drive-through RPG system, I forget what it's called, DM's Guild maybe, that they don't limit it to the edition. So you can write for whatever edition of the game you want. And so this is Chaosium kind of carving out that space. And it's worth recognizing that this is drawing lines in a somewhat fractured landscape for RPGs. They could have gone open game license, but they haven't. So this is just part of their doubling down on keeping it one edition.
I think it's important to remember, though, that D&D is OGL in their past versions, though. I mean, and Wizards of the Coast created the license back in the 90s or early aughts, whenever that happened, so that they could produce, allow people to use some of their rule systems so that that content could be produced and used. Chaosium's never had a system like that in place. So to think that they would be able to jump straight into the bandwagon at that is, I mean, I understand what you're saying, that they could go OGL and just release it carte blanche, but the difference between them is that past versions of Call of Cthulhu are still highly compatible with current versions of Call of Cthulhu, so much so that you don't really need to make huge conversions between sessions, you know what I mean? Whereas there's a massive difference between old school first edition D&D, second edition Skills and Powers, third edition, you know, D20, fourth edition, the crazy board game version, you know what I mean? There's crazy version differences between each one of those systems. Whereas with this, I mean, you can take a scenario that was created in the early 80s and run it right now with 7th edition with very little prep.
Yeah, but not no prep and not no conversion. I mean,
right, not no prep and not no conversion. I'll agree with you there, but at the same time, it's still the same thing. It's not nearly the amount of work that would have to go in to create a scenario from a first edition D&D to play it in fourth or fifth edition D&D.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, people who don't want to get into 7th edition are excluded. It is an exclusion of some population.
There is an exclusion. Yeah, I see that. But at the same time, and I'm not trying, I'm just playing devil's advocate because you're more than sure. anything. But but at the same time, I can see it from a business point of view.
Why support the older versions? If you're going to give this content away, give it away at the version that you've almost bankrupted yourself producing. That seems fair, honestly. I mean, if you're going to gripe about the older version, then that's fine. Then do it on your own for the older version. But honestly, there's no reason not to use the newer version at this point. I think for a long time there, people might have used that thought as an argument, you know, saying, oh, well, I'm not updating because of this or this or this or this. But I think we're past that now.
Well, not everyone. I come down actually on the side of I just have to. Chaosium's doing their thing, and they are doing this exclusion thing, and that's the business decision they've made. And I don't want to backseat run a business too much. They've gone with that direction. They didn't do open license. I'm just sort of more of a. I like democratic democratization of rules, and so I like open licenses. And I think it's possible had they taken a couple of steps back, that this could have been done open license, and it could have been a little more open.
We're gonna have to disagree, gentlemen's disagreement there.
Well, sure, but tell me why.
I'll see you at dawn with sabers, sir.
Sure. Okay. So that's a much bigger issue of sort of whether or not they should be exclusive with the
versioning.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's a sticky territory and a bigger topic to tackle. But it does further kind of codify what is and is not. And it's not like you can publish something for sixth edition now using
those
rules.
Right.
And using Dark Young, which is Chaosium property, there are lines you can't cross because of doubling down on a single edition.
Well, that's not. Well, come on, man. You wouldn't. If you produced any content right now for 6th edition, it's not going to get licensed. It doesn't matter if it came through this or anything. It doesn't. So I don't understand why you would be upset that this doesn't allow
for 6th edition licensing.
No, you're right. No. That's a reasonable point. But I'm saying they've made this does further kind of lock that in.
So would you be more open to the idea that the Miskatonic repository exists, fans create content for it, it's only 7th edition. However, Chaosium is opening up all of the past editions to OGL.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, but what would that gain anyone who wanted to create content then? Because then you still cannot license it as Chaosium licensed. It can't be sold, right? It's OGL, which means that it can be a Cthulhu game, but basically at that point, what they're doing is they're open licensing the basic role-playing game along with the number of other games that use the exact same system. You see what I mean?
I didn't follow.
Okay, so you have, if they are exclusive only 7th edition for Miskatonic Repository and they OGL everything else.
Oh, right? I see. Yeah.
Well, everything else also includes all the versions of Elric that ran on 2nd and 3rd edition. A whole litany, though, everything that ran out of the gold book is 6th edition, right? I mean, there's a whole crap load of games that Chaosium made, that would then effectively be OGL. And some of those games, I'm willing to bet that they don't hold complete rights to, right?
Well, right.
So how would that be better is what I'm saying. And how would that be a better financial situation for them, you know, coming from where they did 2 years ago, right? Into opening up the entire back catalog to OGL when a lot of that is basically role-playing games that already exist and are just old school games that people still buy left and right on eBay and stuff, you know, like Elric. Still, you can still buy Elric all day long on eBay.
Can still buy 6th and earlier edition supplements on DriveThruRPG from Chaosium.
Exactly.
You know, I bought the thing at the threshold that I was running from them.
But you're not getting any new content licensed for it.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't...
So you're saying limit the repository, but allow people...
I'm saying neither, actually. I'm saying just leave it like it is. It's fine. Because the 6th edition has been around forever. If you open up OGL to everything else prior to 7th edition, then you're opening up OGL to a bunch of other games that may not need that. You know, things like Elric and some of the earlier Conan stuff that was BRP as well. All of that doesn't need to go OGL. And they might still make a buck off of that. You know what I mean? And it might come back. And so they don't want it to go to OGL.
Well, but I mean, yeah, the argument is strange because you're saying it's not an all or nothing thing. Like they could OGL certain products before 7th edition, you know, Call of Cthulhu products. Or you're saying it wouldn't be an all or nothing thing. Like you wouldn't have to open license.
Right. You wouldn't. This is true. But I mean, you essentially. What I'm saying is that you essentially are, if you open license 3rd edition, you're essentially open licensing Elric. It's the same flipping rule system, some extra charts.
Are you though? Yeah, I don't think you are. I mean, I think those extra charts actually matter. And there is open license sort of BRP like systems, which is why Delta Green was able to do what they did. That's what they're using.
Or used prior to their reforming, right?
No, the one that they've redone is based on an engine that was OGL.
Oh, okay. I thought they had created that.
Yeah, I thought that was ground up. I didn't realize that it was built on an engine. And then this gets cut, by the way, because maybe this whole thing should be cut because I'm intoxicated and I'm just rambling at this point.
I thought it was good content. I liked it.
I just didn't quite follow, but I mean, you know, in reality, I'm not actually arguing that they should change what they did.
And I did predicate this with being devil's advocate, right?
I only have a little bit that I want to chime in and say, I see Chad's point, but I think the number of people being disenfranchised because of it being 7th edition only is a incredibly small, it's my opinion that I think it's going to be a small number because as Brian said, Chaosium's history of versions, they've only had just, you know, minor shadowy changes. You know, it's still very much the same core game that Sandy created, you know, 30, 40, whatever, how many years ago, right? Unlike Dungeons & Dragons that has had, you know, vast changes.
Complete rewrites from the ground up. Complete
rewrites from the ground up. So, you know, the meter is going to swing, I think, more widely and wildly with a D&D kind of, you know, hey, I want to create content, but don't pigeonhole me into this version. I like and still play this version. You know, I think it's been our experience, at least it's been mine, that people who have been playing 5th edition or 6th edition are like, dude, I can totally get into 7th edition. I'm all on board with it because it's the same game with the fun amped up, you know, so...
Well, you know, the thing is that we're all sort of, I think we're all on the same page about being enthusiastic about 7th edition, but that is not universal. And I just want to acknowledge that we don't know the numbers. And
no, we don't. I'm only basing my opinion based upon the types of reactions that I've seen in social media. And, you know, and of course, that's limited to the places that I go to for that kind of information. So, yeah, it could be far. I could be totally wrong. It could be a much larger group of people. I just, to me, it seems like it's going to be a pretty small group.
But, I mean, yeah. My approach when somebody would want to, you know, if they, this straw man argument here, but if somebody came to me and said, well, I want to write stuff, but I only know 6th edition and before, my approach would be to say, it's not that hard. And by the way, I can help. Like, you know, it's.
Yeah.
you know, let me take a look at what you've got and let's tweak it. However, that's different than saying you must.
That's true. That's true. There is, you know, that they are saying you must, and so that could, you know, put a little bit of a sour taste in some people's mouths. I just don't see it.
I understand people can get pissed about things, but this is, it just seems like people get pissed about anything Chaosium does where they change anything.
And maybe I'm crazy here, but I mean,
I see reasonable objections to rules that I don't personally feel like I can sort of see the argument that people don't want to do opposed roles in combat all the time. But I have found in play that I enjoy it. So, you know, but I don't want to discount. I don't want to say, you know, your sense of feeling forced into a system that you're not comfortable with is to be discounted just because you now have to express, you know, things in different ways on the page.
Can I bring up another one that I would love to take down?
No. Yeah, it's a dangerous one. Let's go for it.
No, this is one that I really don't connect with, that I really can't see. And my ears are open for arguments, but some of the concern is like with the monograph system, that you basically get a wave of low quality material and it becomes really hard to sift through that.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm setting up a straw man. And then
this is your straw man. All right, yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, as a consumer, I try to put myself in those shoes, but I just don't. I'm so passionately in support of bad content. It sounds...
People need to practice.
Yes. Not only is it a whetstone, but... I put the bad in quotes, but it's like, experiments don't always go well. And... Mm-hmm. It's great to see stuff flop, but at least try, you know, go spread, you know, test the boundaries and spread the wings and get weird. Some of those monographs that people really can't stand, there are a few, I don't want to name them. But I sort of love the sincerity of them. It's like Great Pumpkin. I love a space where people can try and fail and get a little better in a low risk environment. So,
yeah, agreed.
I totally agree.
We're on the same page there.
And a solution, I think, something that we can do. I'd like to sort of casually announce here. Nope. Oh, don't do it.
Don't.
Oh. If John says to do it, Murph says don't do it, I'm definitely going to do it. Do it. That's the Schrodinger's, like, you don't, there's no choice, really. The hammer kills the cat, which is Murph. I'm sorry.
Fuck.
Clearly, I'm a hook.
No, I'm just saying, as a podcast, I think one of the solutions for a sea of mediocre material, which I'm not totally believing, but look at the monographs, there is a history, that... something that media can do, and there are only so many media voices out there, is evaluate and pick out gems.
Oh yeah.
I think we could help in people, especially if people tell us, hey, this is a gem. I found a gem in the Miskatonic repository. You've got to take a look.
Okay. I'm down with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not where I thought you were going. So I'm good with it.
What did you think that I was going
to
do?
I thought you were committing us to things again, which you have a history of doing.
That's true.
Also, but not, we can't just call out the gems. We also have to call out the turds. Yeah, I mean, if we see leave that to me.
Okay.
Let me just rummage in my desk here. Hold on.
I mean, the thing is, yeah. Okay. Well, it'll be fun then. Bring out a turd because I will be pro turd. I'm sure of it.
You usually are.
Yeah, I'm in favor of constructive criticism.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, constructive.
I don't think... Did he really go to his desk?
I think he... John,
come back, man.
I'm going to find it.
He's digging for a turd. And he's in that basement, man. You know how that went.
No, I'm not in the... Shut up.
Did he find a scenario based on the room?
The room.
Why is he a mile away from the microphone?
I don't shut up.
And he can hear us.
Why are you... Are you going to the bathroom? Is you going to the bathroom with the door open? Is that the kind... Is that how you roll?
That's how I roll.
Ew. Exactly what it sounds like.
Jesus, man. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, you filthy fuck.
Okay.
I want to hear the flush.
And this is the kind of content that Dave was talking about.
Exactly.
He was praising us for.
There was a scenario. In fact, I was trying to find it on Chaosium's site, but I gave up. There was a scenario. Can't remember the name of it. It was set in the Ozarks of Southern Missouri, Northern Arkansas, the Ozarks area, Lake of the Ozarks, and I bought it. I read it. God damn, that thing is a turd. It is just poorly structured, and I was like, you know, as a keeper, you'd have to, you know, you're practically rewriting the entire thing, and yeah, I had a hard time with that one. I really wanted to run it because of the setting, because it was close to where I live, and I can't. I just couldn't. It was too rough.
Yeah.
And if you're a listener and you wrote that scenario, feel free to write in.
Yeah, feel free
and tell John how badly that hurt.
And tell me how wrong I am. But
I mean, we could get now if we want to get Cloudy. I've got a list. I've got a list.
I know he has a list. Why did we have to bring up this?
I'm not talking about the list. I'm really not. No. I really want to say one, but I'm not.
Don't.
Oh, be a man.
But no, listen.
No, we shouldn't. We should not be men. We should be mice.
Review of this material is really important. And, like, yeah, I was holding back committing, like, oh, we're going to read everything.
We're not going to read everything, but.
Look, listen,
I did purchase.
There is a built-in review system here that's already in place. It's called the Almighty Dollar. I mean, if it sells, it's going to be better than the ones who don't. That's the first litmus test of whether or not it's worth a flip or not. If it doesn't, if downloads on it aren't worth a damn, if the sales don't go through on it, then you know that it's not worth a shit.
Yeah, but there are sleepers. Okay.
Here's a question also, because it does pertain to turds and gems, is right now you go to DriveThruRPG, you do a search for Miskatonic Repository, you get 19 returns. There's 19 items. What happens when this is 119 items? How can you find and sift through that to find the gems from the turds? You know, how can you separate the chaff from the wheat? And so my question is, do we know, is there any kind of like expiration date for these, or if sales or downloads, probably not sales because some of them could be free, but if downloads don't break a certain barrier, do we know if they'll pull the content from DriveThru, or is this just going to be an ongoing growing thing that, you know, eventually it's over 100 and then it's 200 and it's 500. And
just do the sort.
You just keep
sort
going.
By highest rated and
you just use the DriveThru RPG tools to sort through all the content. All
right. Okay. And you depend on people who do deep dives who report to Miskatonic University podcast or do our little random sampling. Here's another thing. Very cool. Glad I remembered this. Pookie, who does reviews from Rillier, is doing a Miskatonic Repository Monday. Every Monday, he's doing one of these things.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That, Pookie listen, that's
is
really
a,
awesome.
Yeah.
Pook has got a lot of sway, especially in the last couple of years with his reviews.
There's only so many prolific reviewers out there.
I know.
I say so many, I mean him.
Him.
Yeah. So I think that's fantastic, and I think that's part of our responsibility as podcasters and reviewers is to help consumers to kind of find stuff
yep.
and highlight those successes.
for those listeners out there who feel inclined, and if you buy one of these and you really feel great one way or the other about it, you know, passionate, feel free to leave us a voicemail with your review. We will happily play that stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know, because I don't have a problem making this, you know, once in a while. We, you know, if one of us buys one of these, I did actually purchase Isle of Madness, which is the Pulp Cthulhu scenario written by Ed Posing. Nice. And so I haven't read through it yet, but I own it. And I got no problem reading through that and talking about it later on. It's only a 16-page scenario. It's short. And, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited to, as a consumer, to check this stuff out, too. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be cheap, right? Like, low risk on the consumer side, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the most expensive one, I think, is like $9.
Yeah. So, overall, I'm just, like, super excited. And I have a lot of weird ideas that when I pitch them to get, you know, sort of get a glazed look. And that's just the way my brain works. And I can't wait to float some really weird stuff. ideas are faster than the typewriter. But
yeah. Yeah, there actually is one for 12, Trail of the Monolith. Oh,
is there?
I'm looking at the description, and it sounds like a pretty cool scenario. It's 120 pages. It's Michael Nagel took some time to put this together.
He, you know, Isle of Madness is Pookie's second review here in Miskatonic Monday. Yeah.
Joe Trier has got from Fear Sharp Little Needles and the Howie Roll podcast. He's got the Idol of Thoth up there.
Cool.
$4.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it does sound pretty cool.
I like Thoth's Dagger is a great scenario, so I think that would be a cool.
Yeah.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is, but it might be a neat follow up. So.
Mm-hmm.
It says missing idol lead. It's an idol, so not the dagger, but a missing idol leads intrepid investigators on the trail of madness through Boston and Arkham. Is there a curse? Is the dark god Thoth watching from afar? Interesting. Have to check.
Yeah. That.
After having said all that about the editions, that there are a lot of people out there who could help if your concern is not that you don't ever want to write in seventh edition, but you just, there's a barrier there and you feel sort of excluded because you don't know the system, that people help you. And so my advice is to collaborate. And the other thing is, do collaborate, even if you're just putting something up there, get another set of eyes, because increasing the quality of this stuff means getting an editor and getting proofreaders. And
yep.
I'm sure you have people around you who can do that. There's
Join the cult of keepers.
And if it's a scenario, play test.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. At least, you know, if you have anything that's kind of an experimental rule idea or something, make sure it's play tested by people other than yourself. We want to hear from our listeners, and we have a lot of different ways for you to reach out to us.
For the complete list, check out our show notes. That's where you'll find our email address, which is now mup.feedback@gmail.com, as well as our phone number, the SpeakPipe link, and our forums.
Send us your questions, feedback, and topic ideas, or join a discussion. Record a liner, tell us who you are, and give us a hearty Go Pods for our home team, the Fightin' Cephalopods.
Find all the links you need to keep in touch at mu-podcast.com/137.
Thanks for joining us for another episode, our first of 2018. Class is dismissed.
Yeah, happy new year, guys.
Yeah, happy thanks. New year. Appreciate it.
The Call of Cthulhu role-playing game is property of Chaosium, Inc. The written works of H.P. Lovecraft are held in the United States public domain. All other works mentioned in this podcast are the property of their respective owners. Original content of this show is copyright of the Miskatonic University Podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license.